This is the Spurs Cast with your host, Paul Garcia.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. In today's episode, I'll be discussing the team turnaround in third quarters, the most recent trade rumors around the Spurs, and the Spurs' last four games. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode. So it has been about a week since I last recorded a Spurs Cast episode with Colin Reed. And now let's go through first. I want to first begin with the third quarter turnaround that the team has seen here lately ever since Trey Jones became the starting point guard for the Spurs. Okay, so we're going to first break down their numbers offensively and defensively, just overall, and then we're going to kind of dive into some specific statistical categories and see what the difference has been for the Spurs in these last six games when they've really done a great job here in the third quarter. So before Trey Jones got the start, basically 33 games, which is a huge sample size, the offense in the third quarters, they were scoring 99.2 points per 100, which is 30th. So dead last offense in third quarters, that's the first marker, that's the offensive number. Defensively, they were allowing 126.2 points per 100 in third quarters, which was 27, so almost last as well. So that means their net rating was a minus 27 in third quarters, which was dead last in the NBA at 30th. So again, they were the worst team by net rating in third quarters as of January 3rd. That was a timeline from the start of the season to January 3rd. So again, 33 games. Then when Pop makes that move to put Trey Jones as the starting point guard, we have seen the third quarters dramatically shift. And so let's look at that shift that happened. Offensively, and again, it is only six games, they are scoring 131.8 points per 100, which is six. So again, a top 10 offense in third quarters. They're allowing only 100 points per 100, which is second. So again, the second best defense in third quarters. That's a huge turnaround. And then now the net rating has completely flipped where they were dead last, 30th. Now they're all of a sudden first, the best third quarter team outscoring opponents by 31.8 points per 100. And this is interesting because, yes, it does involve some blowouts against Detroit, against Charlotte, but also in some games where, you know, where even like Trey Jones didn't start in that game against in the most recent loss to the Atlanta Hawks, where Pop basically sat out Wemby, Trey Jones, and Devin Vassell, which I'll talk about a little bit later. You know, even the bench players still were able to come in and still be productive there in the third quarter. So again, it's only six games, but the Spurs have completely shifted their third quarter turnaround here in these last six games. And that was one of their Achilles heels was, you know, having difficulty in third quarters. That's usually where they would lose ball games. They'd really fall behind. And again, in these last six games, it's been a mark for them that they've been able to get back into games or extend their lead, as we saw against the Pistons and the Hornets. So now I want to kind of just jump into some specific categories. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to look at the four factors analysis. So again, we're going to focus first on offense, and then we're going to do a little comparison, and then we'll look at defense. So let's talk about offensively shooting the basketball. So when you look at the Spurs' effective field goal percentage, which ties in their three-point shooting with their overall shooting, their two-point shooting, they've made a dramatic difference here. They're a plus 11% increase in accuracy and in effective field goal percentage. So they've gone from the worst shooting team in third quarters, 30th, to now 14th, about league average. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good number right there. So that's a significant factor. Their free throw rate has also gotten better. So they have a plus 9.6 free throw attempt rate right now. So again, they were dead last, 30th in third quarters. Now also all of a sudden they're 20th. Again, 20th's not great, but it's still better than being dead last, 30th. Here's, I think, the most important factor that we've seen and where I think Trey Jones does have a part to play in this. Their turnover percentage in third quarters. So they have decreased their turnover percentage by 9%. So they went from 29th in turnover percentage to now first, the best team in the league. So they were doing a great job of not losing the ball in third quarters. They're really taking care of the ball, and that's obviously not going to harm them and allow easy baskets on the other end when you're taking care of the basketball. So that's a huge turnaround. That's a big part offensively where I can really pinpoint where they really made a dramatic difference here in the third quarters. And then a number where they've gotten a little bit worse, and it's kind of expected because of the lineup, is they have seen a decrease in their offensive rebound percentage by about negative 4.1%. So basically they were 18th, now they're 25th. And this is expected. Again, it's Wemby at the five, and then he has, you know, four guard wings and, you know, Sochan, but he's obviously only like 6'8". So they are giving us some size. So you do expect them to have a little bit more difficulty on the boards. And we do see that they're not getting as many offensive rebounds since they made this change in third quarters. So again, offensively, I would again pinpoint to better shooting in third quarters right now in these last six games, plus taking care of the basketball. That's been huge for San Antonio. Now let's go look at some of the defensive four factors. What has been the difference? So while they're shooting well, San Antonio, they're doing a great job of opponents struggling to make shots on the other end. So they've seen a minus 10.2% decrease in opponent accuracy, effective field goal percentage, should I say, for the opponent. So normally the Spurs' defense ranks 27th in opponent effective field goal percentage in third quarters. Right now they're fifth. So again, a top five defense in that category. So again, making either teams are just missing shots or the Spurs themselves defensively are, you know, contesting more shots, making it difficult for the opponent to make shots against them. Opponent free throw rate is about the same. There's really not too much of a difference. So that's kind of just where it's been all season for the Spurs, whether in the third quarters with opponent free throw rates. Here's another big difference. Plus 8.8% increase in opponent turnover percentage. So normally the Spurs rank 29th in third quarters in forcing opponents into turnovers. So really opponents don't turn the ball over much against their defense. However, now they are the best team in the league, first in opponent turnover percentage during third quarter. So again, that's a huge turnaround. The fact that the Spurs are the best team right now in third quarters of taking care of the basketball, while on the other end of the floor, the defensive side, they're way more active and forcing turnovers of the opponent, which obviously, you know, leads to some of these better numbers on the shooting end if they're getting more fast break opportunities and things like that. So again, that's a huge mark right there. The fact that they're more aggressive now in third quarters and making the opponent turn over the ball at a higher rate in these third quarters. And then just like on offense, the rebound percentage for the opponent has increased since they went to this lineup change, should I say. So opponents are seeing a plus 5.3% increase in opponent rebound percentage. So normally the Spurs are 23rd in this category. I mean, normally they're 11th and now they're 23rd. So opponents are collecting more offensive rebounds against their defense in these third quarters. So, you know, overall, again, it's only six games. We'll see again, you know, I'm going to see what the sample size looks like in 15, 20 games. But right now, since the Spurs have made this lineup change with Trey Jones starting at the point, and of course that happens also in the third quarter, they've just completely flipped their quarters around, where the third quarter is now their best quarter when it's normally their worst quarter. And again, I think the two key keys there are that the Spurs are shooting better, the opponents are shooting worse, and also the turnover percentage, the fact that the Spurs are taking care of the basketball really well, the best team in the league at doing that right now in third quarters, while on the flip side, opponents are turning the ball over most against San Antonio at this time frame. So again, I just did some research there. I was really interested to see what the numbers said, and so it kind of painted a picture there. And the Spurs have been doing a better job, even when they're struggling in games, to get back into ball games by winning that third quarter. They've won six of them in a row lately in their last few games against some bad teams, but also some pretty good teams as well. Okay, so that is the third quarter turnaround for San Antonio. Our next topic, I just want to give a little bit of an update on trade rumors. So we do know that as I am recording this episode on January 16th, it is a Tuesday evening. The trade deadline is still about a little more than 3 weeks away. So of course, as the deadline continues to approach, I'll continue to address different rumors. And then I also want to have Colin Reed back on here so we can really do a deep dive into some of the players mentioned in trade rumors, and also, you know, provide some examples of maybe what deals could look like. But let's just first, for today at least, just tackle the latest rumors that have happened since I last recorded a Spurs cast episode. So let's first begin with Jetty Osman and Doug McDermott. So last time, on the last Spurs cast episode, Colin had asked me basically, and we both addressed this, you know, are the Spurs buyers or sellers? We basically said they were sellers in terms of two players specifically. And that's those veteran players, Doug McDermott, Jetty Osman. They're both in the final year of their contract. So of course, you know, San Antonio knows they might lose them in the offseason. So of course they might be looking to try to see if they can acquire some sort of draft assets for those two players before they lose them in July, if they end up leaving the Spurs. And so Mark Stein on his Substack on Sunday, he kind of confirmed this, that he's heard that the Spurs have made Doug McDermott and Jetty Osman available in trade discussions. Again, no big surprise there. It just makes sense to try to see what the Spurs can get for McDermott or Jetty if they don't have any plans to re-sign either of those players in the offseason. And just some quick reminders, McDermott has a $13.8 million deal this season. So if any trade was figured out, they would have to make the salaries work that way. And Osman has a $6.7 million deal this season, which his contract's a little bit easier to move around in trade discussions. One thing I will do before the actual deadline gets here on a Spurs cast episode, I would definitely look at some potential deals, you know, what deals could look like with different players for these two players, and also trade player exceptions. I really want to do a deep dive into the teams, how it impacted their cap sheets if they were to take in either Osman or McDermott into one of their trade exceptions, different teams. And so again, that'll be a little bit further down the line within these next 3 weeks before the trade deadline gets here. And then the other rumor I want to address is just the latest on DeJounte Murray, where everything stands with the Spurs' interest in him. So like we said, Colin and I last week, there was that initial report by Shams saying that the Spurs, you know, reached out to the Hawks just to kind of gauge the level of interest, in DeJounte Murray. Now, since that happened, there's been some different new details that have emerged. So Zach Lowe on one of his podcasts recently confirmed that he heard basically the same thing, that the Spurs have been one of the teams to register some interest in Murray. So now we have two credible journalists reporting that, of course, you know, San Antonio made this call and has been, you know, checking in on Murray. Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer had a really good article over the weekend where he basically says that he thinks the Spurs should, he had really good numbers and reasoning for this. He basically said that he thinks the Spurs should target Trae Young more so than DeJounte Murray. Now, that's a bigger trade to try to figure out if the Spurs can do that. So he's just kind of, that was more his opinion, is saying that, you know, it would be a better deal for the Spurs to try to go after Trae Young, try to put a package together rather than Murray. But he also just gave some more info on Murray. And he said this, he says that he's heard that the Hawks do want two first round picks for Murray in any kind of deal, not just with the Spurs, but with any team that wants to acquire Murray. And now we know that there's a number of teams that have been involved in DeJounte rumors. There's the Brooklyn Nets, the Los Angeles Lakers, just to name a few teams. So,
swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
There's a number of teams that are going to have interest in Murray. And so again, O'Connor is reporting that the Hawks do want at least two firsts. So this kind of makes sense, because when we look back at the original deal, what did the Spurs acquire for trading Murray to the Hawks? The Spurs acquired a 2023 first round pick, which has not conveyed it. It belongs to Charlotte via the Knicks. They also acquired an unrestricted 2025 first round pick and unrestricted 2027 first round pick from Atlanta, plus a pick swap in 2026 with the Hawks. So again, basically three first round picks and a pick swap for Murray. So the Hawks basically are looking at it as almost like they're trying to get some of that value back that they lost in that trade for him a few years ago with San Antonio. So that's why they are looking for two first round picks from any team that they try to trade with it if they do move DeJounte Murray. Now, regarding the Spurs having a lot of first round picks, they do have a bunch. They have 10 first round picks in the next 7 years. And they also have three pick swaps. So again, the Spurs have the assets, but again, they may not want to, you know, you don't want to go back on a trade, you know, losing what you gave, you know, losing part of what you gave up to you know, the assets, should I say, you know what I mean? So again, maybe they do, maybe they end up looking at that. I don't know. Again, we'll kind of dive into that as the weeks go along, and as long as Murray remains an Atlanta Hawk for now, before the trade deadline gets here on February 8th. So again, the Spurs have the draft assets, but again, do they want to move some of those draft assets? And then regarding Murray, there was an interesting comment that he made, I guess, to Dennis Scott, who works for TNT. So what happened was, during that Spurs Hawks broadcast on Monday, Dennis Scott came on the television and he during the game, and he basically gave a sideline interview where he said, you know, he spoke to DeJounte. He asked him about him being in the rumor mill. And DeJounte basically said, you know, it's the business, blah, blah, blah. You know, so it happens. He's going to be professional. But then Scott also asked him specifically about, you know, hey, what does it mean? What do you think about the Spurs specifically having interest in maybe reacquiring you? And this was an interesting quote from Murray. He said this. He said, "Pop is like a father figure to me. I would welcome it. But right now I'm a Hawk. I'm going to stay professional, play the right way." So again, that part right there opens the door in terms of just DeJounte saying that, you know, if it ends up happening where the Spurs, you know, do figure out a trade to get him back, he would definitely welcome that. And obviously, you know, he looks at Pop as a father figure. So that was just a very interesting comment. The fact that he didn't just like straight up deny it, like he actually answered the question and say, you know, he would be welcome to a deal back to San Antonio, especially, of course, the opportunity to play alongside Victor Wembanyama. So that was just interesting that he actually, you know, answered a question about coming back to San Antonio potentially. And then just some other news regarding DeJounte's contract that Bobby Marks recently reported was that from ESPN, that Murray does have a 15% trade kicker in his contract, where basically if he gets traded and he doesn't decline that trade kicker or amend his contract to take that out, then $3.4 million would be tacked onto each year of his deal. going forward up until 27-28 when he has an option year. So, you know, you're looking at instead of acquiring a salary for $18.2 million this season, it would actually bump up to 21.6. And then of course, in the following years, when he signed that extension, now he would get a $3.4 million increase in his salary for each of the remaining years up until that 27-28. So again, that's just something to look at. Regarding the Spurs' players that they have on different contracts, they could still make a deal. It would be, you know, that wouldn't take too much for San Antonio to create a deal with, you know, one or multiple players to get to that $21.6 million number for this season at least. So that's just something to consider. Like I said, we're going to continue here on Project Spurs to continue to monitor these trade discussions, whether it's with Murray or Jetty or Doug McDermott. We'll continue to, you know, any weekly Spurs cast will definitely address whatever the latest rumors are, at least from now until the trade deadline. And like I said, I really want to do a deep dive into maybe look at what some potential deals could look like for Jetty and Doug McDermott. All right, so now our final topic, let's just dive into the last four games for the Spurs. You know, they've been getting some wins here, and I think it's been a little interesting. So here's what I want to explain about that. So let's go back to last Wednesday. Again, I'm recording this on a Tuesday. The Spurs are on the road at Detroit. We know that the Pistons are the worst team in the NBA by record. And the Spurs dominated Detroit. They dominated from the start. They led by as many as 25 points. They won by 22. This was an epic game for Victor Wembanyama in his young career. He put together a triple-double, his first one of his career, in 21 minutes. Really, it was like 20 minutes by the time he got the numbers that he needed to. He just exited with 21 minutes on the stat sheet. So here's what Wemby did. He scored 16 points, 12 rebounds, and then 10 assists against that awful Pistons defense. I mean, he just carved them up, was finding players and backdoor cuts. And yeah, Wemby just, you know, he, again, in 20 minutes basically is what he did this. And so again, he just showed what he can do against a really bad defense there in Detroit. So that was a remarkable game for Wemby, his first triple double. Then on Friday, the Spurs are back home hosting the Charlotte Hornets. And this is another great blowout for San Antonio. They end up blowing out the Hornets by 36 points. It was a close game for about a quarter. Then in the second quarter, San Antonio takes complete control. They end up building their largest lead of the season at 38 points. They led by 38. And Wemby again had another very impressive night, still on this minutes restriction. In just 20 minutes, Wemby ends up with 26 points, 11 rebounds, and 2 blocks. Again, in just 20 minutes. And then the Spurs again dominated that game. Then the Spurs on Saturday had a back-to-back at home against the Chicago Bulls. Wemby, because of the Spurs have him resting the second night of back-to-backs because of an ankle injury from a few weeks ago. He didn't play in this game, so that's something we kind of knew was coming, was that he wouldn't play this game. And so the Spurs did struggle without Wemby, where they fell behind by 18. They actually did a great job of fighting back in the fourth quarter. They forced the game down into crunch time, but they ended up losing by 6 points. Trey Jones had a great night here. He ends up with a new career high 30 points, Trey Jones. And he made 4 threes, which was also a career high. So again, they lost that game to Chicago, kind of expected with Wemby out. But again, they fought hard in that game. Then the most recent game and loss came against the Atlanta Hawks, like I mentioned earlier. On Monday, the Spurs really struggled here early on. So they trailed by 35 in the first half. We're completely getting blown out. Coach Pop made a big change in the second half to start the game, more so to like kind of teach a lesson to the starters. He benched Wemby, Vassell, and Trey Jones, and he started with Blake Wesley, Jetty Osman, Jeremy Sohan, who was having even a good first half. Champagne was out there, and then one other player I forgot. So, you know, there was five players out there, but definitely Wemby wasn't there. Vassell was benched for this part. And then also Trey Jones. And then of course they came in the second part of the third quarter, the Spurs' normal starters, and, you know, midway through the third quarter. And by that point though, the Spurs really hustled again. Blake Wesley did a great job of putting some pressure on Trey Jones, really guarding him full court. And so even though they ended up losing this game by 10, the Spurs did fight back in the fourth and get it all the way down to 6 points. Wemby, who was scoreless in the first half, ended up having a great second half. He ends up with 26 points all in the second half, 13 rebounds and 5 blocks. And the Spurs did a great job in that second half of really finding him. And even Trey Young from the Hawks made some comments post-game where basically saying that, you know, in the first half, he could tell the Spurs couldn't find Wemby. He even made the comment of saying he feels bad for him in terms of how the Spurs just don't find him at times. I guess for Trey, you know, has a really good vision, it looks like just the easiest passes are out there. But for the Spurs players, it is difficult for them to find him. And so Trey mentioned how Wemby did, you know, they connected with him in the second half, San Antonio, he could tell, and they made him more comfortable and they got him the ball in his best locations near the rim. And he actually had his best night scoring in the paint near the restricted area with 22 points. That was a season high for Wemby, 22 of his 26 points. And so again, this wasn't a bad week for the Spurs, a bad four games, should I say, for the Spurs. They ended up going 2-2. You know, Vegas said they should have won that game against Detroit and Charlotte, and they dominated those games. And then, of course, Vegas said they should have lost against the Hawks and the Bulls, and they ended up losing those games. What I do want to say is that it was what I really liked seeing in this game was it was their first test against those bad teams. So again, we know that some of the worst teams in the NBA are Portland, Charlotte, San Antonio, Washington. And there's one more, Detroit. Yeah. So those are like the five really, really bad teams in the league right now. And I was really interested to see, you know, where do the Spurs measure up if they're, you know, if they have most of their players, especially specifically Wemby, where do they measure up against some of these other bad teams? Are they just as bad? Is it going to be like a rock fight? But no, it really showed that they're so much, you know, further ahead of these bad teams. You know, the fact that they blew out Detroit by 25, they blew out Charlotte by 36. And then even when we go back to that Blazers game a few weeks ago, they had a pretty comfortable win against Portland. The one game they lost against Portland was the one without Wemby. So I think that when they're whole, most of San Antonio's core players are available, they are showing that they're not as, even though the record says that they're as bad as these other teams, they're not talent-wise as bad as some of these other teams. I think that that's where you see that the Spurs are a little bit can't go to another level compared to some of these really bad teams. And so that was just interesting for me to see. And it also is good for their schedule because continuing in this month of January, they're still going to get the Hornets one more time this month. They're going to get the Wizards twice this month. And then, of course, they're going to get Portland one more time before the before January is over. So again, that was just something interesting to see. As I'm recording this on Tuesday, we are for the Spurs, they're at game 39 of the season, which means that before the next episode comes out, the halfway point of the season, we'll be here at game 41. So I just want to do a quick little checkup on where they are 39 games to the season. So they are 7-32. They have the worst record out West. They are tied for the second and third worst place, basically in the standings. And the Hornets aren't too far behind at the fourth worst record at 8-29. And so we do know that, of course, if the Spurs end up having one of these bottom four records by the end of the season, they have some of the best lottery odds going forward into the lottery. Again, we'll see if some of these wins help them, the wins that they should pick up in these next few weeks, help them kind of separate themselves from some of these bad teams. Offensively, overall, again, these are just the whole season numbers. They're 28th offensively at 108.5 points per 100. Defensively, they're 24th, 117.5. So again, that's not too bad. We have seen some strides defensively. The fact that was one thing I was interested in seeing was, you know, were they going to be a bottom five defense? And they're kind of right on the cusp of not being that at 24th right now. So again, I want to see what the numbers look like before the end of the season. But right now, through midway point of the season, they are showing that they have made it some gradual improvement defensively. And then also just overall, their net rating is minus 9 points per 100, which is 26th. So again, that's kind of where they stand midway through the season. Thanks for taking some time to listen to this episode of the SpursCast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review on YouTube and your favorite podcast apps. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by Paul Garcia. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.